In New York City, there are nearly 8,000 people waiting for organ transplants. And if current trends hold, this year only 250 of them will get the organs they need to live. But a new first-of-its-kind program that hopes to become a model for the whole country is out to buck that trend by broadening the field of possible organ donors to people who die at home. Did you know that right now only people who die in hospitals can donate organs? I didn't know that. Well, joining us is Dr. Louis Goldfrank. He's Director of Emergency Services at Bellevue Hospital Center, team leader of what's called the Organ Preservation Unit. He joins us from Bellevue. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
And how does this work? You know, somebody has died at home. Let's say they've had a heart attack. What happens with your unit?
We respond to anybody who's had a heart attack by generating a response by the Emergency Medical Services System. They then initiate extensive resuscitation, but at the same time that resuscitation of trying to save the life is going on, another independent team is following to a site near that site where the cardiac arrest and the care is going on. And if the person is declared to have failed resuscitation, we may be able to go into the house and talk to the family to discuss with them if the individual had tried to become an organ donor by becoming a first-person consent individual or by signing on their driver's license. We'd like you to give us some time and give yourself some time by affirming the decision of the person who's deceased to preserve the possibility of becoming a donor.
Well, let's explain why time is so important. This conversation has to take place pretty much in about 20 minutes or so, because we understand you have about 50 minutes from the time a person's heart is stopped to get them to the machinery that can keep the organ viable.
Once the heart stops and stops perfusing, getting blood and with oxygen nutrients to the kidney, we have about 2 hours of time. And so it's a real rush. We can't do it in a rushed fashion. We have to do it in a methodical fashion. The reason we think it's going to be successful for some people is that in the hospital, I would say a couple of times a month, someone comes in and says, my loved one has just died, and he wanted and I want him to become a donor, or I want her to become a donor. And we've never had the means to do it. And so we're really trying to fuse a desire to give and a necessity to receive in a system that hopefully takes full advantage of the values of the human being who's just died and the family who are there with the individual.
Well, it's a delicate dance. You said when your team goes out, they go to a different place nearby where the person is dying. That, I think, is going to be the answer to questions people might have. You know, if you've got an organ donor team standing right there, you know, that would sort of leave the impression that maybe the rescue team, the EMTs, wouldn't do as much work as they maybe could. But I'm understanding that the original rescue team, the EMTs, they're not aware that the
donor... There's a firewall in the communication between what the paramedics, the initial team from the fire department is working on, and the information that we have. And we're at a distance, a psychological distance and a physical distance. We say the vehicle, this organ preservation unit, is at the lamppost, and we're waiting to go in. We don't in any way, we're not obtrusive. People don't know that we're coming, nor do we know if we're going to a particular site until we get enough information. Mm-hmm. And since it's so rare, we think that the people who are doing the resuscitations aren't going to know these issues. And we have to be ethically sound and humanistic and respectful of the values and try to say that we're offering something, that if you wish it, we're there to help with regard to facilitating organ donation, or if they tell us to leave, we'll leave immediately.
When you say we'll be parked over by the lamppost, there is something that's come to be called the organ wagon, and this is what you transport people back to the hospital in?
That's correct. It's this organ preservation vehicle, and we call the team the organ preservation unit, because it's the human beings that really make the process.
Right now it's a pilot program. It has a six-month trial period. Only kidneys are being recovered right now. Only Manhattan is being covered. And as we said, only people who have heart attacks are prospective donors. But we understand that you and others would like to see the program expanded to include other kinds of deaths, car accidents, homicides, and that government agencies have been a little reluctant to go that far. Doesn't that get you into the territory of the image of the organ-chasing ambulance?
We created a project that went through every legal characteristic of this process. So, we spent with the state health department, the city health department, and we want to tell people that there is a firewall between these issues, And that, remember, most of the people who become organ donors in a hospital are there because they were had a blow to the head, had a bad vehicular crash or tremendous fall or injury, or they were shot or stabbed. So there's no reason we shouldn't do this in the same fashion for people who die outside the hospital of these other reasons. I worked on a panel at the Institute of Medicine in 2006. The conclusion was that were this project to work in many of the great cities in America, we could suggest 22,000 people who could become additional donors of organs for the community. It's a big difference, and we think we could practically eliminate the waiting list in a few years with the change in who could have the opportunity to donate.
Well, in fact, your organ preservation unit is based on programs already in place in France and Spain, where they have very different systems. In those countries, in Europe, you're a donor unless you opt out. Here, you're only a donor if you opt in. So it's harder to donate here. But what do you say? I mean, there are a lot of people here who worry about the European system. They say, you know, I don't want the government telling me what to do. I don't want the government saying that I'm opting in unless I opt out.
I think you're right. And that's why at the Institute of Medicine and in our project, we didn't say that people should have things done to them against their will. We felt we should try to discuss this issue and initiate this process based upon first-person consent. But even in France and Spain, the process is an opt-out for organ donation. They preserve the individual's organ till they get to the hospital, but they do not do transplantations unless the family in general agree to this transplantation.
Ah, so they already have the preservation in place, and then they'll decide later what it was that you or your loved ones wanted to do, which seems much more efficient.
That's right. They don't take the chance that an individual's wishes can't be fulfilled by not having the preservation. And giving the family a chance to review this process before they go on to make the donation. Mm. Some people criticized us, by the way, in reviewing our work and saying that we were being unethical because we didn't honor the obligation to do exactly what the deceased wanted. Because we've said if the family says no matter what the deceased wants to do, we're not going to permit organ donation. And these are very complex issues. But if you recognize that those of us who are emergency physicians who see people die every single month who want to give, and we have no mechanism to bring to people who need to get organs, we think we're failing all the time. It's an absolute level of frustration in our inadequate capacity to meet the needs of human beings. You can't pretend to be a society committed to transplantation and avoid the place where 95% of the people die outside the hospital.
That's Dr. Lewis Goldfrank, Director of Emergency Services at Bellevue Hospital Center, also team leader of their new New York Organ Preservation Unit. Dr. Goldfrank, thanks so much.
Thank you.